Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Revelation chapter 4, if you turn there, I want to kind of start this morning by reading a little bit, a lengthy passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 4. There's 11 verses. I'm going to read all 11 verses. This is on top of the message I'm going to preach, but this song just kind of reminded me of this. And then I'm going to read a few verses out of verse 5. So get yourself comfortable, all right? Kind of in your stance, and follow along. After this, I looked. This, by the way, is taking place in the heavens. I'm not preaching this, but I do want you to know they're shouting in heaven. This is right after the rapture. It says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Skip on down to verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And the rest... And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. By the way, those are angels. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, we are being taken by John, by way of the Holy Spirit of God, into the throne room of God. Verse chapter 5, verse 1, I saw the right hand in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now that's a hopeless situation. No one's worthy to take you could think of it this way, the title deed to the earth, that all of these future Bible prophecies might be fulfilled. They looked and there was no one. John says in verse 4, and I wept much, much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. I can see John. He's there by way of the Spirit of God. He's looking around. They're looking for someone to open, and there's nobody. There's nobody, none of the angels, none of the created, none of the four creatures, the 24 elders, nobody. And he begins to weep. And verse 5 says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And by the way, that's Jesus. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. That has to be a majestic moment yet to come. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. Jesus made a way. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. God, I just believe you wanted me to read that this morning just as an introduction to where we are going this morning in the message. I need your help. Already, I don't have a lot of confidence in what I was going to preach. And that's a terrible feeling. God, I pray that you'd take over in the service this morning. Not planned this way, but would you take over and just give me the words to say. There are several passages I believe we need to look at this morning. I pray that every child of God would be encouraged in what is before us in the year 2021. I pray that you'd help us as a people of God to actually follow your lead and not the lead of the culture in which we're living. God, we pray for old time revival at Fundamental Baptist Church, not just here, but everywhere the Bible is preached. And God, we ask that you would strengthen and encourage and enable your church this morning. May we all get a little vision of what's going on and understand a little better that we're not home yet. God, would you just remind all of us that we are not home yet? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. It's going to be kind of be a leaping off point here this morning, and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. You know this. I love the UP. I'm a Uper boy all the way. All the way. I love the four seasons. I love all that comes with it. I love the fact that I can go up in my backyard and in a moment's time, man, I'm in the wilderness. I can go for a walk in the woods and I can see things that I'd never seen before because of the beauty of God's creation that is all around us. And I feel bad for those that live in the concrete jungle. I feel bad that those that live within the sight of shopping malls. I feel bad for those that are hearing horns honking all the time and the corruption of mankind is all around them. So I thank God for the UP, but you got to know this. The UP is not heaven. This is not heaven. The front doors that you came through this morning, they aren't the pearly gates, and the man standing in the pulpit is not the sweet angel Gabriel. That's just not the way it is. This is not heaven. We are not home yet. Maybe you're here this morning listening to the live stream and you're a broken person. Man, things that you've just found some things out that have just broken your heart in 100 different ways. Maybe you found out your husband or your wife was unfaithful. Maybe you got a teenage son that has broken your heart. Maybe you're working 60 plus hours a week and you're finding out, man, I'm just not getting there. It's an empty life. And I want you to understand, for every child of God, I want to encourage you this morning, we're not home yet. We are not home yet. The writer of Hebrews said, we described us as strangers and pilgrims, just passing through this world. Oh, it is a sad Christian that makes this world their home. It is a sad Christian that wraps everything up in the temporal, the things that you can see. And although they're just about money and a nest egg and my four and no more, and just kind of building up the home place, and one day soon you're going to say goodbye, because if you're a child of God, this is not our home. We are not home yet. In 2 Corinthians, and I'm just kind of shooting from the cuff here this morning, but it says in verse 12 of chapter 4, Paul said, and let me read verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I am told that I gave you a wrong number in Sunday school. I got it written down here. 245 million Christians will be persecuted worldwide this year. 11 Christians, born-again Christians, are martyred every day. 11 Christians are brutally beaten to death. We don't know anything about that in America. Sometimes we kind of over-dramatize what is going on all around us. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up with a spirit of fear, and we're going to be crippled by that fear, and we'll not serve God. I was thinking about heaven yesterday when I was sitting in my dad's bedroom, and we were watching the RFD channel, the Country Boy channel, the Farmer channel, and my dad's having a hard time breathing right now. I know he's watching live stream, and I'm glad for that. And I was thinking about heaven and how sweet it must be. And I was thinking about some of our brethren, brothers and sisters that are already there. First funeral I ever did was for Andy People, Edie's husband. I remember at the funeral standing right next to the casket. I'm 23 years old. This is the first funeral I've officiated. And she was the last one to come up to the casket at the end of the funeral. And I heard what nobody else heard. Edie's in heaven now. But I saw her at the head of the casket lean over and gently kiss the forehead of her husband and whisper these words, "I will see you in the morning." And it shook me. And I've never forgotten it. Buried a lot of people since then. I guess I want to say this morning. I want to encourage you. I'm not afraid to die. I actually look forward to it. Not in a morbid kind of way. I don't want to die today. You know, I don't want to. In fact, during this COVID thing, I told a lot of people, with you and your wife, you kind of get real close and you get a little cabin fever. And we went through our 14 days of isolation there. And I told people, listen, if I die during this COVID thing, I want an autopsy because I did not die of COVID-19. I want people to know if there was a bump on my head, I died of a concussion or something of that nature. I'm not afraid of death. And I'm thinking about the Church of Jesus Christ in America. And I'm not talking about the pagan nations, the nations that don't honor God. No, God has a people. God has always had a people. God has a people in every nation that are standing tall for God. And I just think we're drama queens in America. I know that the possibility of death is real. Man, I had COVID-19. I'm fine. It was a flu, is what it was. My dad battled COVID. He's fine. Just over and over again. And I'm thinking of all the people. I'm not jumping down anybody's throat. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm thinking about the people that haven't been in church for months because of a bad flu. COVID-19 is real, and people are going to die. The CDC said, I heard the number this week, 3 million people will die this year. And they implied that it was COVID-19 until you got to the end of the article. And then they said, and COVID-19 will have a lot to do with it. And I got thinking, in America, 3 million is a lot of people, but there are 333 million people that live here. Man, that is less, that's far less than 1%. You understand? We expected the devil to attack through the front doors, to attack the gates, and that's not what he did. He came in through a side window. And I want to encourage everybody, if you're quarantining, finish up with the quarantine. Bless God for all the people that are here this morning. Bless God for all of our church people, all the born again people of Fundamental Baptist Church that aren't here this morning. And I know it's kind of rolls through families, and I understand all that, but don't let it cripple you. Don't let that happen, not as a child of God. And I've already said so many things I didn't really plan on saying this morning. And I'm not chewing anybody out, and I know it's real, and I know the sickness is real, but don't play games with God. You don't want to do that. Look at chapter 5. Oh, I got to read verse 15. And all these things, and Paul was a risk taker, by the way. You know, he said, if you were in Sunday school this morning in Galatians, he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, the stigma, the scars. He knew what it was to stand for God and not look for the easy path. Verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. He's not afraid of death. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, Paul knew what that was about. First century Christians knew what that was about. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, I want to come and pray to you right now. And Lord, I pray that you would help that which has already been said to be taken by Christians as just not rebuke necessarily, encouragement, that they might be admonished to stand up for thee. God, would you help this preacher to proclaim the word of God now that others might hear and understand how good you are. God, would you just help me to go with this message where you would have us to go this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5, David said, the sweet psalmist of Israel, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that our earthly house, Paul was talking about his body, of this tabernacle were dissolved. That if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. He says, I look forward to heaven, my glorified body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Life is hard sometimes. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Paul said, there are things worse than death. I know I'm going to live forever. I want to count for God, even as we groan in this earthly tabernacle, this earthly body. What is the deal with growing old? And I thought it was cool for a while. I'm past that now. I cannot tell you how many times I've laughed at people and shook my head and said, what is wrong with them? You know, people that are clumsy and people that kind of, just yesterday, remember when that fresh snow came down, everything was white, nothing was plowed? It was either yesterday or the day before. It may have been Friday. And I think that was Christmas Day, right? You get old, you don't remember calendars real well either. I dumped the garbage in the dumpster, and I'm driving through the old white Cadillac. I'm driving through the church parking lot, and you know those shrubs on either side of this driveway over here? I thought I was driving on the left of this shrub over here, and I drove on the left of that shrub over there, and I'm driving pretty fast. I'm coming through the parking lot, I'm the only one here, coming through the parking lot, and I look over to the left, and there's the church sign about from here to the Oregon Way. I said, what in the world? And I swung the car, and I got back on the driveway before I hit the ditch. And I'm driving down, I'm heading over to Dad's, actually, and I'm laughing to myself, saying, oh, Lord, thank you, I didn't get stuck in the ditch. That had been so embarrassing. Have church on Sunday morning, have the preacher's car in the ditch over here. And the tracks. And I cannot tell you how many times I've laughed at people in the church. I watch them as they drive down this hill down here and over the rocks. And I used to think growing old was cool. I don't think that anymore. I'm clumsy. I'm dumb. I can't get things done. I want to get done. And I could list, and you could too. Those of you that are older, you know what I'm saying when I'm saying you get clumsy. You know that, right? Man, I used to be that stealth athlete. You know, all right, I don't want to wax eloquent on that. He says here, our mortality will be swallowed up of life. Man, I love that. Now, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Now, he that hath wrought for us the same self, same thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Paul said, man, I know life gets tough and I know life is sometimes rugged, but I'm not afraid to die. He said, I long for this mortality to put on immortality. I long for this life that I'm living now on this earth to be swallowed up in eternal life. I understand that while I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. I'm not in heaven. But as soon as this body is done, as soon as this pilgrimage is over, I'm in the presence of God to be absent from the body is to be present with God. That's great promise. I know you know this text, but let's go to Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11. And look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Sometimes life's scary. By faith, so he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents. You say, wasn't Abraham a rich man? Yeah, but he lived in tents. He didn't build a kingdom here on this earth. He pulled up stakes. He was a pilgrim. He kept moving. He was on a journey. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for some earthly city. He was looking for his heavenly city. I submit to you this morning that those of our brothers and sisters in the Lord that have gone home to be with the Lord, they are more alive now than they were here on this earth. I submit to you this morning that those of our brothers and sisters that are right now in the presence of God, heaven is more real than this earth ever was. I'm telling you, they know more joy now and more peace now than they ever knew on this earth. So I'm watching my dad struggle to breathe a little bit and understanding that we are all one breath away from eternity. David said, there's but a step between me and death. Wouldn't it be foolish to put all your treasures in this earth? That really would be the height of futility and foolishness. Heaven is a real place. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. That's what faith is. The promises aren't quite fulfilled yet. But having seen them afar off, that's faith, were persuaded of them, that's faith, and embraced them, that's faith, and confessed, they verbally confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. No self-deception. These saints of old, specifically Abraham, he knew who he was. He was a foreigner here. He was a stranger on this earth. He was one that, he said, verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, would you turn back there? I understand this isn't really an outline this morning, but 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. Heaven is reality. 1,500 miles square, according to the book of Revelation. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles tall. A man did a study on this some time ago now, and I've had this written in my Bible. I've used it over and over again. 1,500 miles square. There's never been a city like that on this earth. A city whose builder and maker is God. If every level of the city was 15 feet tall, this is just surmising, there would be 528,000 stories to the New Jerusalem. If in 6,000 years, historians tell us, the population of the earth has totaled 60 billion people. If you just eliminate that and say 100 billion people lived in the New Jerusalem, each person would get 39 square miles. This is a city that far surpasses any city ever built by man. Far better than any city ever built by man. And no heartache, and no headache, and no sin, and no corruption, and no unfaithfulness, and no lies, and no gossip. No Facebook. You know, it'll be far better than that. Untouched by sinful man, untainted by sinful man, heaven is a place. Paul went there and he saw it. And I can't believe I'm out of time because I really, I mean, I've got 8 minutes is what I've got in order to stay in my allotted moments for the radio broadcast. But it says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I understand what Paul's saying. I'm not comfortable sharing this with you. I am not boasting. Do not misunderstand. But I will come to visions and revelations. But I will tell you by way of inspiration what God is allowing me to tell you. I knew a man in Christ. He's speaking in the third person. Let this sink home. I'm just going to drive this home and I'm done with the message this morning. I want to encourage you. I want to remind you, this world is not our home. We are not home yet. Our brothers and sisters that are already there are experiencing more joy than you and I have ever experienced in this life. So don't think this life is what it's all about. He says in the third person, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, over 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Section one, caught up into the third heaven. That's the abode of God. Paul said, I was there. I don't mean the first heaven where the birds fly. I don't mean the celestial heavens or the terrestrial heavens where the stars and the planets are, the celestial heavens. I'm talking about the third heaven where God is. He says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, out of the body. He wants to emphasize this, I cannot tell. He says, this is not from me. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and he heard unspeakable words. By the way, paradise, which was Abraham's bosom, was caught up to be with the Lord at the resurrection. So these are words chosen by the Holy Spirit. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I saw things, I heard things. I can't tell you about it. God won't let me. As a matter of fact, I couldn't describe it. It's too wondrous and too beautiful. You ever wonder what the music is like in heaven? Yeah, that's right. I get pretty excited about some of our music down here. Man, a good choir number, a good cantata, a good special number. Man, it lifts me. I don't mean my flesh. I mean it lifts my spirit. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. Can you imagine hearing the music in heaven? Can you imagine the joy? Man, can you imagine your first day there? We poetically speak of crossing the River Jordan and finally getting to heaven. Can you imagine walking up on shore and there's the celestial city? And how I wonder how far away you can see that city. I know you can see the Rocky Mountains a long ways away. Any of you that travel out west, you see the mountains a long time before you get there. Can you imagine seeing the city that's 1,500 miles high? Can you imagine what a sight it must be? How about as you get closer to the city and you hear the music? How about as you get there and you approach one of the gates and some of your loved ones that are there waiting for you? How about running out to meet you? Can you imagine the reunion, the joy? I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I just remind you, I did a poor job of it this morning. Best way I know how, I just want to remind you at the end of this year, 2020, we're not home yet. And this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. They're all expecting me, and that one thing I know. We're not home yet. But one day we will be.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.